All right, Kibbutzai, good morning. Let's begin. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Sayyidin Samahakin in honor of the month of Elul, Yomim Noran, and Aliyah for the Neshama of Sayyid's father, Kasir V'chassim Utova for all of Klal Yisrael. All right, let's begin. Tap of Samechei. A beautiful daf ahead of us today. Samechei with Aleph, the Mishnah. Baal Ov. So we'll say, remember again, we're continuing in our, this doesn't sound right, but I'm going to say it, in our Avodah Zarah journey, right? We're discovering it and understanding and learning about all the different forms of Avodah Zarah, which of course you understand why the Mishnah is doing this, because if we're going to make someone liable, chayiv for Avodah Zarah, so ultimately, again, we have to know what that Avodah, what that service looks like. So says the Mishnah, Baal Ov. So what's Ov? Remember again, the Torah, as we're going to discuss, prohibits ultimately again the Ov and the Yidoni. So what is an Ov? Ze Pitom. This refers to Pisom. Hamadaber Meshichyo. Ultimately again, this refers to the Avodah Zarah, as we're going to see, where ultimately again, the dead speak through one's armpit. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Pitom, Shema Machashif Hamadaber Meshichyo. This is the name of the sorcerer, ultimately, again, who speaks through his armpit. So he says, Ma'alas ha'meis min ha'aretz, u'moshiv lo b'shechyo tachaz ra'osav, u'mendabra b'shechi. So we'll say, so this was some type, ultimately, again, we'll discuss whether or not it's Avodah Zarah or it's Kishuf. But the idea over here is that it was a mode of communicating with the dead. The dead, the spirit would be brought back, and the spirit would communicate through the armpit. The shachia of the sorcerer slash Oved Avodah Zarah. So the Yidoni, so that's Ov. What's a Yidoni? Zahamandabrem Befiv. Because this ultimately again refers to someone, these are both Ov and Yidoni, are both people who communicate with the dead. The distinction between them is how they do it. The Ov raises the spirit, and the spirit speaks through the individual's armpit, and the Yidoni, as we're going to discuss, speaks through, the dead communicates through his mouth. Now, I'll give you coming attractions. The Gemara is going to explain that in reality, what they used to do is, the Yidoni would take a bone of a particular animal, he would place that bone in his mouth, and the dead spirit would speak through the bone in the mouth. So again, the Yidoni himself wouldn't move his lips, but rather the dead would communicate with the bone in the mouth of the Yidoni. So both of these cases are elu b'skila. These individuals who commit to engage in these acts are ultimately, again, liable to skila. They will say, and that refers to the person who actually raises the spirit. Actually raises the spirit. It's about nishal b'hem, and one who goes ahead and consults an ov o Yidoni, ultimately, again, for some type of life guidance or life answers, ultimately, again, they are in violation of Allah. So we'll say, so to practice these arts makes you chayiv in skila. To consult the Ov and Yidoni makes you chayiv in a lav. Says the Gemara. Ma'ishna hacha diktoni bal Ov Yidoni. So we'll say, in our Mishnah, so the Mishnah enumerates both Ov and Yidoni. U'ma'ishna gabe krisos diktoni bal Ov v'shayri li Yidoni. Yet, Rabosai, when the Mishnah in Krisos discusses these prohibitions, the Mishnah in Krisos discusses an Ov, but does not bring in Yidoni. So it brings in the Ov, which again, remember, is the person who communicates with the dead through the armpit, but leaves out the Yidoni, ultimately, again, who communicates with the dead through the bone. Why the distinction? So the Gemara gives two answers. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hoyel Ushnehem Balav Echad Nemru. So Rabbi Yochanan will say, essentially, says, if you look at Rashi, Hoyel Ushnehem Balav Echad Nemru, Belav da'al tifnu el ha'ovos ve'el ha'yedonim. Vim asla shneim behel lamechad, eno chayiv el ha'chatas achas. So Rabbi Yochanan says, technically speaking, if you were to worship Ov and Yidoni in one lapse of awareness, you would only be chayiv for one carbon. So because you would only be chayiv once, therefore what? The Mishnah and Krisos is grouping them together. Reish Lakish Amar, Yidoni, Lefi She'in Bomaisav. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Reish Lakish says that the Baal Ov, right, is going to Mishnah because he does a Maisa. So we'll discuss what his Maisa is. He does a Maisa, as opposed to the Yidoni, Rabbi Reish, remember, is the person who communicates through the dead, through the bone in his mouth, ultimately, again, does not do a maisa. So because he doesn't do a maisa, he's not going to be chayiv. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Reish Lakish Amar Yidoni. So we'll say it's about five lines up before it gets wide. So Reish Lakish Amar Yidoni. La'achi lo tanina la mi lahasa mishum da'afilu ki avelei va'ave nafshe Lav bar karbanu, lefi she'in bo maisa. V'chatos eino bo ela al ha-maisa. So just to be clear about something, the Mishnah Maseches Krisos that the Gemara is raising over here is talking about if one accidentally served or engaged in one of these practices. So in the normal circumstances, I will say, remember, if you go ahead and you intentionally get involved with the Ov and Yedoni, so the halacha is a chiyuv of skila. Schiv of skila. If you did it accidentally, the pashtos is a chiyuv of a carbon chatos. So Rabbi Yochanan says that the Mishnah in Krisos doesn't list both Ov and Yedoni, because if you ended up doing them both in one lapse of awareness, then what? You only chayiv one carbon. Reish Lakish says that you're only chayiv for Ov because Ov has a maisa. Yedoni doesn't have a maisa. So if you accidentally committed an act through a Yedoni, you would not be chayiv a carbon. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. For Rabbi Yochanan, maishna bal Ov. Did not, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan. So why is it ultimately again that, so remember, Rabbi Yochanan's logic is the Mishnah in Krisos doesn't list both, because if you committed both in one lapse of awareness, you only have one carbon. So that's the Gemara. Okay, so why does the Mishnah in Krisos decide to discuss Ov and not Yedoni? To which the Gemara says, Mishnah de Pasach Bekra. Because we'll say ultimately again, when the Torah prohibits Ov and Yedoni, it begins first with Ov and then Yedoni. Therefore, when the Mishnah in Krisos is quoting one of them, it chooses to quote the one that was mentioned first by the Pasach, i.e. the Ov. Reish Lakish, my time with Lomak Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Reish Lakish not hold the Rabbi Yochanan? Amra Papa, Chalukin Hein Bemisa. Because we'll say ultimately again, Reish Lakish would say that they are distinguished through death. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. We'll say it's the first of the widest lines in Rashi. Chalukin hein b'misa ki depeirish skilosan chalukin akasub. Because it was from the Torah. Even now, remember, they're both punishable by the same punishment, which is skila. But the Torah discusses their skilas independently, separately. So Rashi says ki depeirish skilosan chalukin akasub ki yihia bahen ov o yudoni. Most yumsu be'evin yirgumu osam to mehem bam. So we'll say because the pasuk goes ahead and distinguishes them in their skila, therefore again he's listing them separately. For Rabbi Yochanan, what will Rabbi Yochanan say? Chaluka d'lav shma chaluka. The misa lo shma chaluka. Rabbi Yochanan will say no. If their prohibitions would be stated separately, then that's a division. The fact that their misa stated separately, that's not a division. But Rabbi Yochanan, my time, lo amar kireish lakish. So let's remember again, why does Rabbi Yochanan not hold the kireish lakish? So Rabbi Yochanan holds that again, remember, the Mishnah in Krisos only states Ov and not Yedoni. Why? Because if you were to commit both of these acts in one lapse of awareness, you'd only be chayiv once. Reish Lakish says it only states one of them. Why? Because Ov has a maisa, and therefore, again, if you did it accidentally, you'd be chayiv a carbon chatos, versus Yedoni, which has no maisa, and therefore, if you do it accidentally, you're not chayiv a carbon. So Rabbi Yochanan, my time, Lord, Reish Lakish, why does Rabbi Yochanan not hold like Reish Lakish? Amr Lecha, Mas Nisin Dekrisas Rabbi Akivahi. Because Rabbi Yochanan will say that the Mishnah Maseches Krisos reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva. And what does Rabbi Akiva say? Well, so we've mentioned this shita a number of times. Do amar lo ba'inan maisa. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion of Osai that in order to be chayiv for an act of avodah zarah, one does not need a maisa. Rabbi Osai, whereas as opposed to other cases of what we'll call capital liability, where you need a maisa in order to be chayiv, avodah zarah is different, and you don't need a maisa. For Reish Lakish, nehid lo bay Rabbi Akiva maisa rabba, maisa zuta bay. But Reish Lakish would still hold that even though Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold what the Gemara calls a maisa rabba, a great act, like a large act, but will still require a maisa zuta, or we'll say will still require some type of smaller act in order to generate liability. We'll say, take a quick look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the third wide line of the widest lines in Rashi. Bikivahi, Tekachashiv Megadef Bahu Minyana, Upligi Rabbanon Alebe Megadef, Mishum Dein Bo Maisa. Hilchach, Rabbi Akiva Mechayev Ale, Velo Shaira El Mishum Dol Mechayev Tarti Atarvayu. So we'll say, remember again, This machlokes Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanon came up primarily by Megadev. Right? So remember again, if you hold that Megadev is a form of Avodah Zarah, or even if not, the truth is, Megadev is interesting in terms of that it doesn't have a Maisa. Yet, again, there's going to be liability. Rabbi Kiva learns from that, that Lamaisa what? That one is Chayiv for Avodah Zarah, even without a Maisa. So according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbosai, you'll be Chayiv ultimately again for these acts. And the only reason why there's not liability is why, or I should say only not liability, is because if you committed both of them, excuse me, why the Mishnah Krisis doesn't quote it, is because if you commit both of them in one lapse of awareness, you'll only be chayev one karban. So the Gemara says, my maisa, so my maisi ika, so we'll say when it comes to megadev, So megadev, my maisi ika, so we'll say by the megadev, by one who blasphemes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what maisa is there that Rabbi Akiva would hold that you're chayiv for? To which the Gemara says, as my maisa, ika akimas vasav havi maisa. So we'll say the act of moving your lips is in and of itself a maisa. Right? Akimas vasav is a maisa. If that's the case, Bal of my maisa. So we'll say, let's go through this. So remember again, Rabbi Kiva's holding, or the Gemara is suggesting, that the reason the Mishnah increases only quoted Ov and not Yedoni is because Ov has a maisa. So let's remember again, Ov and Yedoni, quick review, Ov and Yedoni are both forms of communicating with the dead. Ov, the person raises the spirit and the spirit speaks through the armpit of the individual, versus Yedoni, where the individual places a bone in their mouth and the dead communicate through the bone. So the Gemara says, when it comes to the Ov, so ultimately, again, what Maisa is there? Ika HaKashas Zra'osav Havi Maisa. So let's listen to this. Apparently, again, if you were an Ov and you are raising the spirit ultimately again through the armpit, so apparently you have to go ahead and clap your hands before doing that. So the act of clapping your hands is in and of itself the Maisa that'll make you chay. V'afil the Rabbanon, Rabbosi says the Gemara, is this true? Even according to the Rabbanon, V'hatanya, Einu chayiv ela al davar sheyish bo maisa. Yet the Bosei, the Braisa taught us that one is not chayiv for avodah zarah, unless, of course, one committed a maisa. Kigon, zibuach, kitur, nisuch, hishtachava. Like the Bosei, like an act of slaughtering animal for avodah zarah, sacrificing it, literally, kitur means like kitores, nisuch, wine libations, hishtachava, prostration. And asks the Gemara, v'amar Reish Lakish, man tana hishtachava. Reish Lakish says, one second, we'll say, out of that entire list, one item doesn't seem to fit, and that's what? Prostration, shtachava. Meaning all the other cases, all the other examples you gave, zibuch, kitur, nisuch, these are all actions that are done for avodah zarah. Who includes shtachava in this? To which the Rabbi Reish Lakish, man tana shtachava, to which the Reish Lakish says, Rabbi Akiva, he do amar lo ba'inan maisa. This would reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that what? One does not require a maisa. But Rabbi Yochanan will say, "Afilu temer Rabbanan." Even the Rabbanan would agree that you would be chayiv for a shtachava. Why? Kfifas kamaso the Rabbanan havi maisa. Because it will say the act literally kfifas kamaso means the act of bowing, right? It will say the act of ultimately kfifas kamaso. Bending your posture, right? And it's not good English, but you understand the act of actually, we'll call it manipulating your posture, right? Postural manipulation, ultimately, again, will be, is in and of itself, a maisa. So the Gemara says, Hashta, Reish Lakish kfifas kamaso, l'rabbanon lo havi maisa. So we'll say, now let's go back for just a second. According to Reish Lakish's understanding, who holds that the act of ishtachava is only problematic according to Rabbi Akiva, right? Who holds that you do not need a mice in order to violate avodah zarah, right? But according to the Rabbanon, ultimately, again, ishtachava would not be problematic. So therefore, again, according to Reish Lakish, or I should say, according to Reish Lakish's understanding of the Rabbanon, so the act of bowing isn't a maisa. Hakashas zra'asav de baal ov havi maisa. So you're telling me then that the clapping of the hands of the Baal Ov, right, when the Baal Ov claps his hands in order to get the, in order to raise the spirit, ultimately, again, why would that be a Maisa? To which the Gemara says, you're right, Kika Amar Reish Lakish Nami L'Rabbi Akiva. You're right, even Reish Lakish Rabosei, when he's discussing these things, is only going on according to the Rabbi Akiva, who holds that what? That one does not need a Maisa in order to generate liability for Avodah Zarah. But I both say for the Rabbanon, ultimately again, you will not be chayev for these things. So I both say, what the Gemara is highlighting over here is that the fundamental machlokis, although we've seen it before, but we're making reference to it again, fundamental machlokis, you're going to be keeping the Rabbanon, ultimately, do you need a maisa in order to be chayev for Avodah Zarah? Rabbi Akiva, no. The Rabbanon, yes. And the Gemara seems to be applying this ultimately again to what appears to be the stira, the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Krisos. Our Mishnah listing both the Ov and Yedoni versus the Mishnah in Krisos, which only lists the Ov, doesn't list the Yedoni. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, Ihachi Yatsa Megadev Ubal Ov Miboile. So we'll say, if that's the case, ultimately again, if that's the case, that indeed, the Rabbi, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Ihachi, it's about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, about 12 lines up from the bottom. Ihachi, Rashi says, Masnitsin diktani hosam, bemilsa dirabanam, yotza megadev sheino mechayav ashegel gaso chatos, lefi shein bo maisa, the gabichatos torah achos yelochem lo ose bishkaga. Vihachi, yotza megadev ubalov mi bali. So we'll say, says the Gemara, if that's the case, that the Mishnah Maseches Krisos is coming to teach me that what? That Lemaisa, again, you are a potter. You are a potter. This is talking about a Shogig case. Remember, the Mishnah Krisos is talking about if you did these things b'shogig, there will be chayv b'chatos. So if the Mishnah in Maseches Krisos is only quoting Ov, because Ov has a Maisa, and coming to free you from liability for Yedoni, so it shouldn't just free you from liability should also free you from liability for Megadev, right? Because at least according to the Rabbanon, ultimately again Megadev would be Pater as well. Ela Amar Ula b'Mekater l'Shade. So we'll say, listen to this. So Ula comes along and says, no, what's the case? The case is where one is offering incense to a shade. Now, what's the case? Look at Rashi again. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. B'Mekater l'Shade. Bal Ov Diktani B'Krisos. So we'll say, we're just trying to figure out something. It really is simple. The Gemara is saying in many different directions. All we're trying to contrast is the following. Our Mishnah, Tab of Samechem and Aleph, when discussing these individuals who communicate with the dead, discusses both the Ov and Yedoni, and tells us that if you engage in these practices intentionally, you are Chayev Skila. The one who practices these actual arts is Chayev Skila. The one who tries to communicate with the dead is in violation of a lav. The Gemara is contrasting this Mishnah with the Mishnah in Krisos, and the Mishnah in Krisos was speaking about if one accidentally violates these Averos, that they're Chayev Achatos. Yet, the Mishnah in Krisos only speaks about Ov, doesn't speak about Yedoni. So we're just trying to figure out why. Now, another answer, Ula comes along and says that the Mishnah Maseches Krisos is speaking about a different kind of case. Speaking about someone who offers incense to a shade. Look at Rashi, Mimekata the shade, Bal Ov Diktoni Bekrisos. But when the Mishnah Krisos discusses the Bal Ov, the Modu Bei Rabbanon, with the Rabbanon will agree that she'll be Chayev as well. Bahachi Asminan, Shemekata Lefne HaShade, Hamamuna Al Oso Davar. So the Mishnah is talking about over there a person who is sacrificing ketores to a shade. Apparently, the shade who is responsible or who is in charge of, who has some power regarding communication with the dead. That's where you're going to be chayiv achatos if you do it unintentionally. To which the Gemara says, "Amalei Rava, mekatra the shade obed avodas kochavimu." What are you talking about? If a person offers up ketores to a shade, I will say that's mamish avodah zarah. Ela Amar Rava, rather Rava says, B'mekater l'chaber, or l'chabar. So rather, again, Rava says, what's the case? Where a person is offering incense, l'chaber. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. U'mishani b'mekater l'chaber. Einu mekater l'shem elokos. Person is not offering incense to any particular entity as a god. Ela ayidi aktara nasa mechashefos l'chaber ha-shedim l'kan. Rather, I will say, a person is using incense. L'chaber literally means, like, to gather up spirits. A person wants to get together a whole bunch of shadim, so he offers up this incense in order to gather the shadim. Amalei Abaye, I will say, so the Gemara is suggesting that that's the case of Ov in the Mishnah Maseches Krisos. And that's the case where everybody will agree that if you do this accidentally, you're chayiv for achatos. Amalei Abaye, hamechata lechaber, chover choverhu. So I will say, the Torah has an explicit prohibition against the chover chaver, which is somebody who goes ahead and tries like to gather up spirits. To which the Gemara says, so if that's the case where you're talking about someone who's offering up incense in order to go ahead and gather up spirits, then that's not called Ov, that's called Chover Chover. So the Gemara says, Chover Chover who? In Vatora Amra Chover Ze Biskilo. That is correct, says the Gemara. And the Torah ultimately says that this person is responsible is Chayiv Skilo. Look at Rashi. Vatora Amra Chover Zu Biskilo. Teretzu. Since if this person goes ahead and uses the incense to gather the shadim intentionally, Amra Torah Shei B'Skila, he's Chayiv Skila. V'chosh as Adono Chayiv Nisa Shigagosa may be covered. I will say the general klal is any act which, if you did it intentionally, would get you a Chayiv Skila. If you do it unintentionally, you have to bring a carbon chatos. So the Gemara says, the chiyam rinan chover chover ina ele ba'ashara, zam mechaber chayos behemos techoshim v'akron mokom echad ayidei lechoshim. So this is actually very interesting. So the Gemara suggests over here, you are right, that chover chover abosai is a person ultimately, again, who goes ahead and gathers up the spirits. And what the Mishnah's Krisos is telling me is that what? Since if you do it intentionally, you're chayiv skila. If you do it unintentionally, ultimately, again, you are chayiv a carbon chatos. Now I will say, now the idea over here is, as you're going to see when the Mishnah speaks about, when the Torah speaks about the paradigmatic case of chover chover, that's actually going to be someone who uses these incantations to gather up animals. Someone who goes ahead and uses this sorcery to gather up shadim, that's not the chover chover of the Torah. Rather, again, it's what the Mishnah in Seches Krisos calls an ov. So the Gemara goes a little bit into this. So the Gemara says, Tanabanam, chover chover. So what's this person who uses, we'll say, this like type of sorcery to gather things up? Echad chover chover gadol, ve'echad chover katan. Rather, this is a person, we'll say, who gathers large groups. Now, Bepashtos, this is talking about someone who, we said before, uses this energy to gather up animals. So whether he's gathering up large groups of animals, small groups of animals, even if he's gathering up snakes and scorpions. Now, I already gather up snakes and scorpions. Rashi says, because through Kishuv, he's going to get them to fight against each other and what? Kill each other out. Thereby removing the threat from people. Amra by Hilchoch, man hayman did summit zibura va'akrava. Therefore, Abai says, therefore, one who uses some type of magic or energy or sorcery to go ahead and get the bee to fight against the scorpion, afagav the kamechavin the lisku, even though his intention is what? To remove the threat from people. Nevertheless, what? Usher. So I'll say any type of use of kishuv. Again, I'm hesitant to call it kishuv, because kishuv and avodah zarah are really two different things. But the chover chover is someone who uses some type of, for lack of a better term, it's called energy, ultimately, again, to gather the animals, and sometimes, again, for very good purposes, i.e. to remove the threats from people. Nevertheless, it will be usher. B'yochanan, Ma'ishna de kvifas chomas l'rabanan habi ma'isa, v'akimas v'asav lo habi ma'isa. So, what's the current Rabbi Yochanan? Why is it that he holds that bending your posture, right, tishtach ava, will be called a ma'isa according to the Rabbanan, yet akimas v'asav, moving your lips like by the Magadeth, is not called a ma'isa? Rava will say no. Shiny Magadeth, the Magadeth is different. Why? Hoyo v'yeshno believe. See, Rabbi said the primary prohibition of the Magadeth, of the blasphemer, is not with his mouth, but rather, again, it's with his heart. In other words, if a person, chas v'shalom, goes ahead, curses God, right? But in his heart, he doesn't really feel that way. He's just saying it with his lips. On a technical level, that's not Megadeth. It's bad, but that's not Megadeth. Ultimately, again, so Rav says, because the Iker Kiyum Megadeth is in the lave, right? Therefore, again, there's no Maisa associated with it. We'll say, Amadeus. Master Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia raises the kasha, Yotu Edim Zomimim Shein by Maisa. So Rabbi Chia comes along and says the following, that an Edim Zomimim Rabbi Chia, not Chai V'chatos. Even though when Edim Zomimim intentionally commit their act, there could be Chai V'misa. And even though under normal circumstances, any act that carries the Chai V'misa, if done unintentionally, carries the Chai V'chatos, there is no Chatos by Edim Zomimim. Rashi brings down, Master Rabbi Zera, Yotu Edim Zomimim, Eitzal Chatos. So the Gemara says, why not? Shein b'hem ma'isa, because there is no ma'isa by idim zomimim. One second, va'amai, ha'les nehu believe. So we'll say ultimately again, Edim Zomin is not something that has a primary kiyum in the heart, right? Meaning it has a kiyum with the lips. If that's the case, ultimately there should be a ma'is. So Amar Abba, Shiny Edim Zomin, Hoel V'yeshno B'kol. We'll say, here's the difference. The Edim Zomin, the primary issue is with kol, is with speech. So speech is not a ma'isa. B'kol Rabbi Yochanan love ma'isu. But is that true according to Rabbi Yochanan that kol is not a ma'isa? So we'll say, listen to this. So we're normally conditioned to think that kol, dibor, is not a ma'isa. Yet we have explicit examples of where kol is a ma'isa. V'ha itmar. We learned, what did we learn? We'll say, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakon Yehi Bidvaro. V'ha itmar. Chosma v'chor. We'll say, it's interesting halacha. You know, when your animal threshes, you are not permitted to muzzle the animal. Chosma v'chor, we'll say, means, I don't physically muzzle the animal, but every single time the animal is about to eat, I yell at it. I yell at it. So the animal doesn't eat because of my call. That's called chasima b'kol, or v'hinhiga b'kol. Or I will say, for that matter, I hitched up two different animals to my plow, right? There's a prohibition of kilayim, of plowing with different animals, and I lead the animals with my voice. So we'll say, in both of these cases, I am not doing something physically, but I'm muzzling the animal with my voice, and leading the forbidden mixture of animals with my voice. What's the halacha? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv Yishlagish Amar Pater. Rabbi Yochanan says Yechayiv Yishlagish says Yepater. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv Akimas Behavi Ma'isa. Rabbi Yochanan says Yechayiv. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan says speech, or literally the movement of my mouth, is tantamount to a Ma'isa. Yishlagish Amar Pater Akimas Behavi Ma'isa. And Yishlagish says Amar Pater. Why? Because the movement of my lips is not a Ma'isa. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see that at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, akimas svasai, movement of lips, is actually a ma'isa, to which the Gemara says, Ela amarava, shiny edim zomin. Edim zomin are different. Why? Hoel v'yeshnan beriyah. Well, says actually a very interesting answer. Since edim zomin, since edos in general, we'll say, is a din in riyah, is a din in what you see, therefore, by definition, it's considered to be a non-maisa event. So because it's a non-maisa, and also remember, obviously, Edim Zomin are chayiv, right? Nasisan lo kasher zamam laso slachiv. Explore from Mufurish to Pasik. Rather, what the Gemara is saying over here is the following. Since Eidos primarily comes about because of Re'iyah, because of what you see, and Re'iyah ultimately, again, is not a maisa, in the event that someone became an Eid Zomim, Bishogeg, they would not be a chi of chatos. Why? Because the ikar eidos is rooted in ri'iyah. Ri'iyah is not a maisa, and there's no chi of chatos when there's no maisa. Good. Tanra Rabbanan. So we'll say now we're going to go back and explain a little bit more of the Mishnah. Baal Ov. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah spoke to us about an oven and a yidoni. So Baal Ov. So we'll say, what's an Ov? Zaham and Dabra bin Aprakim. We'll say this is someone ultimately again raises the spirit of the dead, and the spirit, bless you, the spirit rests literally bein aprakim means between the joints of the, for lack of a better term, I'm just going to call this person the sorcerer for now, right? Between the sorcerer umi bein atzila yadav. So we'll say between his joints, and bein atzila yadav means by his armpit. So when you raise this spirit again rests between the joints or speaks out of the armpit of the individual. Yidoni, what's the Yidoni? Now remember again, both Ov and Yidoni are communicating with the dead. The difference between them is the mechanism with which they employ. What's the Yidoni? Zehamaniach etzem yadua befib. So we'll say this is someone who takes a bone from the yadua. Yadua is a type of animal, and he puts the bone in his mouth. The dead person, the spirit, then communicates through the bone. So the person is not moving their lips. The dead spirit communicates through the bone. And ultimately, again, the dead spirit speaks through the bone. So Bosheva, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Yeshaya, which literally means that your voice will be like the voice of the Ov from the earth. So we'll say, what does that sound like? My love, v'mishtay kiyorchei. So I'll say, does that not mean that when the Ov communicates with the dead, so the dead are speaking to us from the ground? That's what it sounds like. Meaning, we were just saying before that the Ov raises the spirit, and the spirit speaks through his armpit, or the spirit speaks from between his joints. But it's only from the pasuk that the dead is speaking through the ground, to which the Gemara says, my lab v'mishtay kiyorchei, is the dead not speaking in... It literally means, is the dead not speaking in the normal way? Right? So, okay, so that... You understand, there's no normal way in all of this, but Lamaisa, again, can't, is the dead not speaking again in the normal fashion, meaning from the ground? Lo, the salak v'yasa ben aprakim. No, rather, ultimately, again, he's coming, speaking ultimately again from between the joints. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Vatomra Isha al Shol, Elohim Ra'isi Olim Min Ha'aretz. So let's remember again, there's the interesting episode where Shol, King Shol, ultimately again, goes to the woman who is the Ov to raise the spirit of Shmuel Hanavi. So what happens? So the woman says to Shol, Elohim Ra'isi Olim Min Ha'aretz. Literally, I saw an angel rising up from the earth. So what do you see from there? The Gemara is suggesting that the Ov communicate with the dead from the earth. My love, the Mishtai Kiyorche. Does that not mean that the dead are communicating with the living? Ultimately, again, Kiyorche Abosegin means the normal way. Meaning, from the Gemara's perspective, the most quote-unquote normal way to communicate with the dead is from the grave. Not that the spirit's coming to the armpits, or not that the spirit's coming between the joints, but that the mice are coming from the earth. So does that not mean that the dead are communicating from the earth? To which the Gemara says, Lo, the Yasa ben Aprakim Mishtai. No, in this case, the spirit of Shmuel rested between her joints, and it was conversing like that. Tan Rabbanon. Bal of echad hama'ala bizichuro. So it's actually interesting. Ve'echad hanishal bigogoles. So apparently, again, some ba'ale ov were able to raise the spirit of the dead bizichuro. So we'll say literally, zichuro means the makom mila. So the dead would communicate ultimately again through the makom mila of the ov. Ve'echad hanishal bigogoles. Or some would communicate ultimately again through a skull. There would be a skull. And we'll say it's actually interesting. Whether this was the actual skull of the person they were trying to communicate with, or just stam a skull, it would sit on the ground, and they would, the spirit would communicate through the skull. So we ask, Ma bein zeloze? Was there seen these two individuals? Ma'ala bezichuro, eino ola kidarko. So I'll say, ultimately, again, the one who communicates through the makomila, ultimately, again, does not come up kidarko. Rashi points out over here, I'll say, eino ola kidarko, ela raglov lamala. It's almost like right across in Rashi. So again, when the spirit would come up, the spirit would come up feet first from the grave. The eino ola b'shabbos. Furthermore, again, you can't summon a spirit, bezichuro, on Shabbos. Nishal begogoles, but if the Ov communicates with the dead through a skull, ola kidarko, the spirit comes head first, right? Va'ola b'Shabbos, and the spirit also comes up on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, va'ola b'Shabbos, ola lehecha salik. So we'll say, so it says the Gemara, hakamei manach. So what does this mean when it says that it comes up? It comes up in the right. In other words, it doesn't matter the skull. If the spirit's coming up, so the spirit's in the skull. What does it mean? It's coming up. To which the Gemara says, "Hakamei manach." The skull is sitting in front of the old, and the spirit is there. Ela ema one kedarko va'one b'Shabbos. Rather say that ultimately, again, what that the spirit is able to communicate normally. Spirit is literally one kedako, it answers normally va'one b'Shabbos, and it can communicate on Shabbos. So the Gemara says va'af she'i lezu shal Turnus Rufus as Rabbi Akiva. This, in fact, was one of the conversations between Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo umay yomi amayim. So we'll say ultimately again, Turnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, why is Shabbos different than other days? Amar lo. So Rabbi Akiva says, Turnus Rufus, why are you different than other men? Amrlei, Demaritzavi, to which Turnus Rufus says, because my master, i.e. the emperor, appointed me to a position of power. To which the Rabbi Akiva responds, Shabbos Nami, Demaritzavi. Shabbos is also different. Why? Because the Ribono Shel Olam ordained that it would be different. Amrlei, Hachi Kamil Lacham. Turnus Rufus says, Rabbi Akiva, No, you're misunderstanding my question. What's my question? Mi yemar da idna shabsa. How do you know that the day that you observe as Shabbos is really Shabbos? How do you know that today is really Shabbos? Or whatever, not today, but how do you know that the day you observe as Shabbos is really Shabbos? Amar lo, nar sabbat yon yochiach. So this actually is Rabbi Akiva says that the sabbat yon, sabbat is actually the sambat yon. So the sabbat yon river will prove it. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, "Nar sabaytin yochiach, nar echad shalabanim, ubechol yimos haShabbos shotei v'holich v'yom haShabbos shoki b'nas." So we'll say, apparently, one of the miracles that occurred was that the Sabbatyon River was a very turbulent river, but yet, amazingly enough, on Shabbos it would be calm. So Rabbi Akiva says, the fact that Shabbos is indicated to us from the Sabbatyon River. Bal ov yochiach, Furthermore, again, I will say, so Rabbi Akiva is Eternus Rufus. I can prove that Shabbos is Shabbos how? Kivrosh, excuse me, Balov Yochiach, we can prove it through a Balov. Kivrosh Shal Aviv Yochiach, and your father's grave will prove this as well. So let's listen to this. She'ein Ma'ala Ashan B'Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva says, the Ov will prove it because the Ov can't raise spirits on Shabbos. And your father's kever proves which day is Shabbos. Why? Because no smoke comes up from your father's grave on Shabbos. So we'll say, apparently, Eternus Rufus's father was a great Rasha. Therefore, again, was spending his time in Gehenna. Therefore, again, throughout the week, there was smoke rising from his grave. But again, Chazal tell us that on Shabbos, the Rishaim are given a respite from Gehenna. So one day out of the week, smoke would not rise from the grave of Eternus Rufus's father. And therefore, again, he said, Rabbi Kiva said, you see, that's when Shabbos is. Amar lo, to which Eternus Rufus says, Bizaso bayashto vikilalaso. You embarrassed my father. Literally, you degraded my father. You embarrassed my father. You cursed my father. Meaning, Eternus Rufus, here's Rabbi Akiva's point, but he says, Rabbi Akiva, you know, I'm very distressed by what you said, because what you said was very disparaging of my father. Okay? So the Gemara goes right there. Shoel ov, hainu v'dorei shalam isim. So the Gemara asks the following. Isn't shoel ov, isn't someone who consults with the Ov to try to communicate with the dead, isn't that the same thing as Dorei Shalameisim? Isn't that the same thing as a person, ultimately, again, who literally seeks out the dead? In other words, the Torah Bosai describes these as two different things. There's an Ov and there's Dorei Shalameisim. Aren't they the same thing? To which the Gemara says, Dorei Shalameisim, to which the Gemara says, no, Dorei Shalameisim Kidisanyo. So we'll say, what is Dorei Shalameisim? What does that refer to specifically? Because remember, again, Torah doesn't need to prohibit the same thing twice. So what's Dorei Shalameisim? Hamariv asmo v'holik v'lam v'beis ha'kvaras, k'desha tishra alav ruach tuma. We'll say Dorei Shalameisim refers to someone who literally goes ahead and starves himself, and then goes to sleep in the cemetery in order that the spirits of impurity will rest upon him, and somehow he's able to communicate with the dead. So let's listen to this. This is amazing. Okay, Shai Rabbi Akiva Magila Mikraza. Whenever Rabbi Akiva would get to the pasuk of Dorei Shalameisim, and he would read about this person who starves himself, then goes to sleep in the cemetery in order that the spirits of impurity rest upon him, Hayiboche, Rabbi Akiva would cry. Umaha Mariv Atzmo Kedesha Tishra Alav Ruach Tuma. Shora Alav Ruach Tuma. So we'll say, so Rabbi Akiva used to cry, and he would say, you know, when someone starves himself and goes to sleep in the cemetery because he wants to connect with the Ruach HaTuma, so it works. First wide line, Hamariv Atzmo Kedesha Tishra Alav Ruach Tara Alachas Kama Vakama. Then the Shmira will say, now Mariv Atzmo literally means starve himself. Rabbi Akiva doesn't mean starve himself, he means one who exerts himself in order to go ahead and have the Ruach Tara, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rest upon him, alachas v'kama v'kama, how he should be successful. As well as Rabbi Akiva would say, if somebody could exert himself in order that the Ruach Tuma should rest upon him, then all the more so if someone exerts himself because he wants the Ruach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ruach Tara, that should work as well. But what should we do? Because sometimes, even though we exert ourselves, the Ruach Tara does not rest upon us. Sha'avanoseinu garmu lanu. That unfortunately, sometimes our sins have created a distance, or have created ultimately again like a blockage, a wall between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shene'emar, kim avanoseichem hayu mavdilin beinechem lebein elokeichem. Because as the pasuk says, sometimes your sins create a barrier or a division between yourselves and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So both said, the idea that Rabbi Akiva was saying over here is that sometimes it appears that it is so much easier to be successful in the world of impurity than it is to be in the world of purity. Because one thing is clear, that if a person exerts himself in the world of impurity, he'll get what he wants. But yet the way Kedusha works, Rabbi says, is that sometimes I exert myself in the world of Kedusha, and I don't always get what I want when I want. Now again, the postscript to this is, that if I keep trying. The postscript to this is that if I keep exerting. The postscript to this is that if I keep on pushing myself, then lemaisa, again, I will get what it is that I want. But sometimes, at least initially, you could put in the effort and not necessarily get all of the results. Omer Rava, ibo tzadiki bara amo. Rava says, the righteous are so powerful that if they wanted to, they could create the world. Shene emar, kavanosechem hayu mavdilin. That it's only because of your aviros that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's a distance between you and me. But without your Averos, there would be no distance, and you, the righteous, would have creative powers as well. So the Gemara tells a story about this. Rava Bara Gavra. This is amazing. Rava once created a person. Once created a human being. Shadra the Kamei Rabbi Zeira. He sent the guy to Rabbi Zeira. What happens? Hava Kamishtai Bahadei, Velokava Mahadulei. So we'll say, what happened? So Rabbi Zeira was speaking with this person, but the person was not responding. Why wasn't the person responding, Rabbi Osei? Because he couldn't speak. Why couldn't he speak? Because speech is a manifestation of the neshama. So Rabbi created this golem, essentially, which was alive, but had no koach hadibur, because again, koach hadibur is a manifestation of the neshama. So what happened? Amalei, min chavrei at, you obviously were created from my friend, hadar la'afreich. Go back to the dirt. In other words, Rabbi Zeira said, I'm not impressed. Right? Anyone could create a golem. Right? Anyone could create a golem, but ultimately you're not a human being. You want to say, there's so much to say on the skimmer in terms of what defines us. Really what defines us is our koach hadibur. Is how we use our ability to speech. What we use our words for. That ultimately is the defining point of our humanity. I want to say one last line and then we'll stop for today. Rav Chanina, Rav Oshia, have a yasi kama le shabsa, vaski b'sefer yitzira. Rav Chanina, Rav Oshia would sit every Erev Shabbos and they would go out and they would learn sefer yitzira. And they would go ahead through the Sefer Yetzirah, Rabbi Osei, through their creative abilities, they would create the Igla Tilsa. Igla Tilsa, Rabbi Osei, is either a calf that has reached a third of its maturity or a third born calf. Either way, it's considered to be the best meat. So they would create this Igla Tilsa on Erev Shabbos, Va'achlile, and then they would eat it. And then they would eat it. So again, you know, as we learned before about miraculous animals, what their status is. But the nice, again, the Gemara is just pointing out over here that the tzaddikim, if our averos do not create a division between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our ability to create, ourselves, to create our world, is mamish limitless. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up here and answer Hashem tomorrow morning. Thank you.